time. That's right. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Let me get hooked up here. Praise the name of the Lord. Okay. Praise God. You know, it'll be a little strange not being here on Christmas Day, but, it'd be nice for people to be able to spend the time with their families and stuff, too. The title to my sermon today is Feeding the Multitude. And I'm going to pause for a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just come into your presence right now. I ask you to have your way. I ask you to pour yourself through me today, Father, and just let the words that I speak be your words, that they would minister to hearts and that people would begin to realize what you've called them to do. And I give you the praise and I give you the glory ahead of time for everything that you do. In the name above all names, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Praise God. I don't know if you all listened, heard any of the stuff we were talking about in Sunday school, but we were talking a lot about marriage and about correction and a whole bunch of stuff like that. And aren't you glad that the Lord only corrects us out of love? You know, we do get corrected harshly once in a while by the Lord, but you know what? It's because he loves us. And like I was quoting, the Lord loves, Scripture says, he chastens, and that sounds pretty harsh, and he scourges every son that he receives. And it says, and if you endure without chastisement, then it says in the Scripture, in the King James, it says, then you're bastards and not sons, you know. And like I said back there, the only difference between those two, a son and what used to be called a bastard, is that the one doesn't have the father's last name, you know. And because he doesn't have the father's name, he doesn't inherit. And, you know, thank God that we have an inheritance that's sure and steadfast in Jesus Christ. And, you know, I feel like sometimes we wonder, what am I supposed to do? You know, how am I supposed to be out ministering to people? What, you know, how do I reach out and fulfill your purposes in my life? And I'm going to start off reading to you out of Matthew, and I'm going to read I'm going to stay in Matthew this morning, but I'm going to read to you out of the 14th and out of the 15th chapter of Matthew. And I'm going to start off with the 13th verse. And Jesus heard it, and he departed hence by ship unto the desert place apart. And when the people heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And went forth and saw a great multitude, and he was moved in compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came unto him, saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals, it says, but that means food, you know, that's in modern language. And says, but Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. And you know, sometimes God says stuff to you and you think, okay, and just how am I supposed to do that? Have you ever felt that way when you felt like the Lord wants you to do something? You just say, okay, Lord, now how am I supposed to be able to do that? Well, and they said unto him, And you know, it doesn't say this here, but it says in some of the other gospels, there was a boy there that had five loaves. He had a couple fish. And they said unto him, we have five loaves and two fishes. And he said, bring them to me, basically. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the five loaves and the two fishes and looked up to heaven, and he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitudes. Now, I'm going to tell you what, sometimes you don't realize that God gives you something. Anytime he gives you something, he gives it to you not to hang on to it, but to begin to dispense it in however he wants you to dispense it. And sometimes it's a word, sometimes it's a gift, sometimes it's a financial blessing, sometimes it's just an encouragement or whatever it is. But a lot of times I've heard people say in times past that they felt like they had a word of the Lord for somebody, and then they would make the statement, well, I didn't feel like it was the right time to give it. And I'm going to tell you what, when the Lord gives it to you and lets you know that he wants you to give it to somebody else, it's the right time. And it's not really up to you to decide when the right time is and when the wrong time is. Because I'm telling you what, when he gives you something to give to somebody else, it's the right time. Now, here you have these guys, these disciples of his, and this is the first instance of this. These disciples of his, he takes and he blesses those five loaves and those two fish. And you know, in the scripture, the number five is very significant literally, anytime that you see five things in scripture, it's talking about the grace of God's goodness. So five is the number for grace. And I got news for you. When he blessed those five loaves and those two fishes, the two is the number for union, division, and witnessing. And you know, he took those five loaves and those fishes and he began to break them and he began to give them to his disciples. And you know, sometimes we have the feeling like, Lord, I don't have hardly anything, you know, from you to give to other people. And I want you to know that no matter how much you think you don't have, when God begins to deal with you, it's more than enough. It's always more than enough. And usually it's so much more than enough that it will multiply and it will get bigger. You know, I've shared the testimony with you of the time that the evangelist, basically, or the missionary guy, was told that God was going to give him many souls. And he had this meeting, and just one guy came forth and gave his life to the Lord. And you know, if that guy looked at that in the natural, he would have walked away and said, well, Lord, that's almost nothing. That's only one person. You know, that's a little. That's you said you were going to give a lot, but you only gave a little. But you know what? That one person, like I've told you before, he went to Africa and he evangelized all kinds of people over in Africa. And I believe literally there were thousands of people that got saved through that one person. And I think so many times we have the attitude that any time that the Lord does something in our life, it has to be something real big. You know, it's got to be something real big. You know, I love the song, Little Is Much When God Is In It. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. And I just want you to know that even with these disciples, he took and he began to break the bread, and I'm sure he began to break the fish, and he began to put it in their hands. And I'm sure that there was 12 disciples there, and I'm sure that as they got a little bit of bread and a little bit of fish in their hands, they probably thought, look at all these people. There's 5,000 people here. What is this little bit going to be among 5,000 people? I'm sure that they had that thought. But I got news for you. When God puts something in your hands, what you think it is, whether it's enough or not, doesn't make any difference, because God knows that it's enough. And that little bit that he puts in your hands is going to magnify and it's going to grow if you'll be obedient and do what he tells you to do. And you know, they began to start to pass out the loaves and the fishes, the little pieces of loaves and fishes. And you know, there was 5,000 men there, it says, but there actually was probably more than 5,000 people there, because it says that there was also women and children there. They were only numbering the men, you know. So who knows how many women, with the women and the children, how many actually were there. But I tell you what, there was more than enough. And they said that after everybody had eaten and was full, there was 12 baskets remained. And they started out with 5 little loaves and 2 fishes. And if that boy had the 5 loaves, I'm sure they weren't great big old loaves, you know. They were little bitty loaves of bread, probably lunch-sized loaves, you know. Yeah, we're probably a little small. Yeah, weren't very big. But think about that. Yeah. Yeah. Right. That's what it was. A boy. In some scriptures it says it was a boy's lunch, you know. He was the only one who had any food. But even with that boy, he might have been thinking, you know, what am I going to do for lunch if you take my lunch? Natural thinking. That's what goes through your head sometimes and stuff. But I'm going to tell you what, you can never outgive God. Whatever he bids you to do, he will more than you can imagine, exceedingly abundantly, turn it into something so much bigger. You know, I've had the Lord over the years at times ask me to do something, or I felt inspired to do something. And really, at the time I felt inspired to do it, I really, in the natural, shouldn't have done it. You know what I mean? But I tell you what, I've seen God miraculously work it out to where it just miraculously took, you know, was more than enough. And that's the way it was here. But when he took up the 12 baskets, well, the number 12 is the number for governmental perfection. And you know, 12 baskets full, governmental perfection. And you know, God's governmental perfection will always be more than enough. And when you're obedient and you do what God tells you, and like I told you before, when he said the 5,000, 5 is the number for grace, and 1,000 is the number for divine completeness and the glory of God. When you see 1,000 in anything, that's literally what that has the connotation of, divine completeness and the glory of God. But through the grace of God, his divine completeness and his glory is always going to be seen. Okay? And you know, the second instance where this was talked about was in Matthew 15, 29 through 39. And the reason I'm reading it out of these two chapters here, it's other places in Scripture, because this is two different instances. Okay? And, you know, there was one woman who came forth, and she asked Jesus to heal her son. And he said, "Woman," he said, "I'm not supposed to cast bread to the dogs?" You know, he called her a dog. She wasn't a Jewish person. He said he was called to the house of Israel. But you know what? The house of Israel was getting ready to expand. It was getting ready to expand. They're not all Israel, which are Israel, but in Isaac shall your seed be called. And you know what? She told him, she said, "Well, isn't it true that the dogs sit at the table and they get the crumbs?" And you know, Jesus marveled at her faith, because I believe he was teaching them all something there. He was basically saying crumbs from the master's table is more than enough. It will satisfy anybody, you know. And anyway, in that second chapter, that next chapter, chapter 15, it says this. It says, "And Jesus departed hence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee. And he went up into the mountain and sat down there." Now, you know, when he went up into the mountain, there was a place one time where Jesus saw a woman sitting by a well. And he basically said to her, he said, "Woman, give me something to drink." And she basically looked at him and said, "How is it you, being a Jew, would say to me, a Samaritan, give me something to drink?" Because the Jews and the Samaritans didn't really get along too well. The Samaritans believed that they were supposed to worship in the mountains. And the Jews believed that they were to worship at the temple in down in Jerusalem. You know, and when it says here that he was in Galilee, and he went up into the mountain, and he sat down there, and so a great multitude came unto him, having with them that were blind and lame and dumb and maimed, and many others, and he cast them out at Jesus' feet, and he healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak and the maimed to be whole, and the lame to walk, and the blind to see. They glorified God of Israel. And you know, these weren't the Jews here that he was dealing with right here. It said, and Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, "I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days." If you remember, I preached a sermon a few weeks back about the three different realms. And three being a tremendous number in the scriptures, and three literally is the number for resurrection, divine completeness, and perfection. And they had been with him for 3 days. And remember I told you when we talked about in the book of Hosea, literally where it talked about, you know, the three different types of rain, you know. The one was rain, the other was the latter rain, and the last one was the former rain. And I told you it was three different types of the teaching about the water of the Word of God. And you know, just like they were with him for 3 days, and that meant that they had persevered. You know, if you're out in the desert and you're out in the mountains and you got 3 days without food and water, you're going to get pretty hungry and you're going to get pretty thirsty, you know. But it says here, and it says, Jesus had compassion, and his disciples said unto him and said, "I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now these 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way." And that meant that they were pretty famished, you know. And the disciples said unto him, "Whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill such a great multitude?" And Jesus said unto them, "How many loaves have you?" And they said, 7. You know, it's funny how all these numbers pop up. 7 in Scripture is the number for it's the number for complete spiritual perfection. And they had 7 loaves and a few little fishes. We don't know how many a few is. A lot of times in our day, a few is usually 3, you know. But a few is little. That's not very many. And the definition for that word few means a little amount, a very little amount. So it goes on and says, "We have nothing. They have nothing to eat. And I will consent them, cast them away, fasting, lest they faint in the way." And the disciples said unto him, "When should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude?" And Jesus said unto them, "How many loaves have you?" And they said, 7 and a few fishes. How many? And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. You know, every time, now this sounds like kind of strange, but if you think about it, every time that there was lack, he told them to sit down. He told them in the other place, when there was lack, they didn't have no food. He said, sit down. Now, in the natural, you'd think, well, when there's no food, you don't want to sit down. You want to get up and go do something, try to get some food. But how many people know that when you deal with the Lord, the best thing that you can do is get quiet and still and sit still and watch his hand move mightily. And when you do that, God will always meet you exactly where you need to be met. And Jesus said, you know, how many do you have? He said seven and a few little fishes. And like I told you, seven is the number for completeness, spiritual perfection. And it says, and he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the seven loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and broke them and gave them to his disciples. And his disciples to the multitude. Now, Jesus didn't give them to them directly, but he gave them to the disciples. And I got news for you. You would think after chapter 14, when they had just seen the 5,000 fed, that they wouldn't have even questioned him on this. But sometimes we're kind of slow of understanding. And I hate to say it, but we're kind of stupid when it comes to the things of the Lord at times. And I'm going to tell you what, if he meets you one time, he's going to meet you the next time. You just have to, as long as you're doing what he's telling you to do, you just have to be obedient and do what he tells you. And it says, and he took the seven loaves and the fishes, and he gave them and broke them and gave them to the disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up the broken meat that was left, seven baskets full. Seven. And I told you the number seven literally has the meaning of completeness and spiritual perfection. And you know, any time that you deal with the Lord in anything, it's always going to be him showing you his completeness and his spiritual perfection in whatever situation you're in. And it said, and they did all eat and were filled, and they took out the broken meat and left seven baskets full. And they did eat that, and there was 4,000 men besides women, children, and he sent away the multitude. Now 4,000. The number four is the world and creation. So he was basically, in type and shadow here, he was showing that he was going to begin to dispense the bread of God and the meat of God to the world. Not just to the Jewish people, but to the world. And the four means, like I say, it means creation in the world, and 1,000 is the divine completeness and the glory of God. And he was going to dispense that to the world. And they did all eat and were 4,000 men besides women and children. And he sent away the multitude and took the ship and came into the coast of Magdala. And I just want you to know that no matter what you think you have or do not have, it's always enough. And as long as God is in it, it's always enough. And it will always meet whatever need there is. And, you know, sometimes, you know, I was thinking about the woman who cast the mite into the treasury, you know. And Jesus was standing by. And there was a lot of really wealthy people there that day, I believe. And he saw a lot of people put in a lot. And then this one little woman comes by, and she throws in the one little mite or the one little coin. And it said, and Jesus marveled when he saw her do that. And the reason that he marveled, because the disciples asked him, they said, you know, why do you marvel at that? He said, because all of the other ones cast in of their abundance, she cast in of her lack. That's all she had. She cast in everything that she had. And I got news for you sometimes. No matter how little you think you have, you always have enough to bring glory to God, enough to fulfill whatever need God tells you to do. And sometimes it might be something silly. You know, I'm going to tell you this story. One time years ago, when me and Margaret were real young Christians, I had somebody give me a dollar. They sent me they sent me a card, and they had written in this card and said, "Brother Oscar," they said, I feel like," and I wasn't, you know, I don't think I was even an elder in the church at that time, but they sent me this card and it said, "Brother Oscar, I felt like the Lord wanted me to send you a seed faith offering of this dollar." And, you know, they wrote this beautiful little thing on there. I'm not going to tell you all about it. But anyway, and I tell you who it was Audrey. She sent me a dollar offering, you know. And that right then, you know, I just thought, well, okay, that's nice, you know, and I put it in my pocket. But I'm going to tell you what, God began to multiply some things shortly thereafter. And I had another person want to give me $100, okay? And they gave me $100, and this person was out of work. And I didn't want to take their $100. I mean, I almost tried to talk them out of it, you know. Their wife was still working, and the wife was still working, but this person was out of work. And they gave me $100, and I thought, well, you know, I can't. It was a check is what it was, and I thought, well, I can't spend this $100, you know. I know just his wife is working, and he's out of work. Well, I put it in my billfold, and I don't know what happened, but somehow our checkbook got messed up. And Margaret balances our checkbook, and she does a wonderful job most of the time. And I know how to do it, but she's good at it, so I let her do it. And she does a wonderful job. But anyway, we was short, guess what, $100. And I had tried to talk that person out of giving me that $100. But isn't it neat how God knows exactly what you need when you need it? Because all I had to do was take that $100 check and take it to the bank and cash it, and everything was back great, you know. And, you know, it's that's something little. You say, well, Oscar, that's something little. But no, it's not really little. It's something big. Because I think even Audrey giving me the dollar set in motion the $100, you know. 100 times more. And I can remember one time we were sitting in church, and we're sitting there, and Margaret looks over at me, and they had just taken up the evening offering. Well, we had given our tithes and offerings in the morning, and, you know, we had Mark and Jennifer were little kids. They were real little then. And we had just given our tithes and offerings in the morning. Well, this was a Sunday night service. Well, I felt like I was supposed to give an offering that night, too. I had $3, and I put $3 in the offering. That's all I had. And Margaret had, I didn't know at that time, but she had $2, and she put $2 in the offering, okay? So that was all the money we had. We didn't have no money. And Margaret, she reached over to me and she says, "We need to stop on the way home and get some milk." And I said, "I ain't got no money." And she says, I said, "Don't you have any money?" She said, "I don't have any money." I said, "I put my last $3 in the offering." And she said, "I put my last $2 in the offering." You know, and we're whispering to each other back and forth. Well, somebody all the way on the other side of the church, which had, I know they couldn't hear us or see what we were doing because the service was kind of going on then, you know. We got ready to go home after the service over, and she said to me again, she says, "We need to get some milk." I said, "I ain't got no money." She said, "Well, I ain't got no money either." And Mark used to drink about 2 or 3 gallons of milk a week. That boy loved milk. I don't know where he got that from because I don't like milk. I hardly ever drink milk, but he loved milk, and that boy could drink the milk like there was no tomorrow. And anyway, so we start out the door, and this brother comes up to me, and he says, "Brother Oscar, somebody gave this to me and told me to give it to you, and it was a folded piece of paper." Well, I just stuck it in my pocket, and I didn't know what it was, you know, so I thought, well, okay, that's fine, you know. So we get out in the car, and Margaret says to me again, "We need to get some milk." I said, "I ain't got no money." I don't know why we kept saying that back and forth. I didn't have no money, and she didn't have no money. Well, I said, somebody gave me something. I pulled it out, and I unfolded a piece of paper, and there was a $50 bill in there, 10 times what we had just put in the offering. But see, that's the way God works. Little is much when God's in it. He always will increase whatever you do, even if you have just a little bit. You know, and I've seen that happen time and time and time again in our life in a lot of different instances, you know. And, you know, one time there was a person in the church that was out of work, and I knew they were out of work, and they were trying to get another job. And actually, I helped the person get a job, but you know, their wife was working, and this was a different situation, a different person. And me and Margaret was talking, and I said, "You know, I feel like I'm supposed to give them some money." You know, well, we didn't have a lot of money because back then we was living paycheck to paycheck just about, you know, all the time, and we didn't have much money. And I thought, well, the Lord was just impressing me that I should give them like $100-something, you know. And this was years ago, and $100-something was a lot of money back then. You could do a lot with $100. Back today, $100 is about like $10 used to be, you know. But anyway, I felt like I was supposed to give this person some money. Well, I gave him some money. And you know what they told me? They said, later on they told me, they said, "You know," they said, "as many years as I've been a Christian," and they'd been a Christian for a while, they said, "as many years as I've been a Christian, no one had ever met our needs." And they told me, they said, "You know, we was wondering how we was going to get clothes for the kids to start school, because we didn't have no money." You know, God's good all the time. He meets needs all the time. So what I'm saying to you today is you can feed the multitude, and that multitude might be one person, but that one person might grow into many, many people before it's all over with, because God will cause you. And I'm not saying just about money. I'm not trying to talk to you about money. I'm trying to talk to you about anything that God lays in your hand to do. If He lays it on your heart to call somebody and to encourage them, or just to call them and tell them you love them, or to go see them, or to visit them, or whatever he's laying on your heart to do, be obedient. Because you might think, well, that won't matter if I don't do it. I'm going to tell you what, it does matter. It matters a lot. If you'll be obedient, whatever you do, God will take that and He will make it, He will cause it to multiply. And it will grow to whatever the glory of God wants it to be. Well, praise the Lord. That's all I had to share with you today. I haven't talked to you very long today, so you guys will have plenty of time to get to the restaurant if you're going there, or no burnt roasts or anything like that at home, if you're cooking at home. So if you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. And you know, when it comes to Christmas and it comes to New Year's, just remember everybody in the church and keep them in prayer. And we'll just believe that the Lord will give us even a little chance of a time of refreshing when we don't meet for those 2 weeks. But Father, in the name of Jesus, I just ask you to have your way. I thank you, Father, that you are the multiplier. You are the multiplier. And that anything that you bid us to do, you cause it to grow. And all we have to do, it's just like Paul said, one plants, another waters, but God gives the increase. And you are the increase giver. You are the person that makes it all grow and be fulfilled in whatever purposes and whatever plans you have for each situation. But I'm just saying this because the Lord might be laying it on somebody's heart out there to do something for a neighbor or for, you know, for somebody you see on the street or whatever it is. But be obedient to whatever God tells you to do. And I'm going to tell you what, you can't outgive God. No matter what's going on, you can't outgive him. And little as much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth and fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. But Father, in the name of Jesus, just bless your people. Bless the holding clan, I guess it is. Bless them today. Bless their fellowship. And just minister to their hearts today. And I ask you to just help us all, Father, to just be faithful in whatever you'd have us do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all.